All right, welcome to the Brandon Drury Podcast. It's February 19th, 2022 already. I'm really, really, really not a fan of politics, and almost all of it is due to me hating elections. And I don't really know how to pick a good leader, whatever the fuck good is, but I guess, I think, I don't know if anyone goes, oh, it's election time, this is fun. Although everybody gets riled up whenever, you know, the presidential election comes up. And it's interesting that we put so much emphasis on picking the king. Every 4 years, people get excited about elections. You know, it's all over the news and everywhere. You can't go anywhere without hearing it. And it's kind of like the Olympics. Like, no one gives a shit about curling. Yeah, you know, like, what is it? What's 52 times 4 minus 2 weeks? What is that? 208 minus 206 weeks at a time. No one gives a shit about curling. And for 2 weeks, people care about it. The Winter Olympics is here. What's the U.S. doing in curling? No one gives a shit. But that's kind of how we look at our elections. And a lot of times people skip the 2 year. And, you know, we have elections all the time. And I don't even know what all the elections are. But people get excited just because it's some little, you know, it's a little Christmas thing. It's a little thing we do every 4 years to pretend we give a shit. But the reason I hate elections is because they're really good at picking jackasses. And we all know this. I mean, is anyone thrilled with Biden? Anyone? No one loved Biden. Well, how did someone we don't love get in? And I mean, this is a real good question. And the answer is pretty simple. It's because, and everybody knows this, is because voting for Biden was an anti-Trump vote. And Trump, I understand why some people like him. I like him sometimes. I like him when he's being silly, and I just detest him when he's being dumb. And if you know, both of them are a problem. So as a comedian, he's pretty decent some of the time. But anyway, so if you thought Trump was a meanie, you voted for Biden. Which policy of Biden did you like? All right, yeah, he talked some green shit, and he's fucked that up. He's closing down a pipeline so you can use gas-guzzling ships is as ungreen as it gets. And as we did an episode a couple weeks ago, but, you know, that Biden face-fucks people who want solar panels. Thanks, Biden. You're real fucking green, you piece of shit. So anyway, like, both are crap. And so the question for me is, well, how did we get here? How do you get a shitty candidate? And 2016 was the same thing. Hillary Clinton celebrates assassinations. We know that. You can hear that with what the fuck's the guy's name? One of them African dudes. I don't remember. We came, we went, he died. You know, that's the quote. You guys know. And if you don't know, Google something. So anyway, we know she's fucked up. And now, is she eating baby blood? And I guess you can eat baby blood if you thicken it up, like a cornstarch, I guess. I don't know. Never tried it. I'm just a guess. So I don't know if she's pizza-gating it or if she's just bad. And I get a bad vibe from her. I don't know. But definitely not voting for her. And then Trump, you know, a lot of people got a bad vibe from him for whatever reason. Fine. And so, again, so for two straight elections, we had these piece-of-shit candidates. And no one seems to care. Like, well, I guess we got shitty candidates. It's like, well, we have other options. And I think it's the system, in particular the primaries, that really fucked this up. And I don't think we need primaries. That's more or less my take on this thing. And we're going to get to that here in a second. So I wanted to rant a little bit more about how I hate elections. What do I got here? Oh, and even just like the campaigns, all the mudslinging and like, oh, the other candidate's a kid fucker. Like, no, you're a kid fucker. You know, you get all that stuff. And it used to be you could go on YouTube back before they figured, like, politicians understood what YouTube was, and you could just watch your YouTube in peace. And now, even during the election cycle, you know, you're watching whatever the fuck on YouTube, and then it'll jump in with, like, Donald Trump tried to kill or not, you know, it's a goddamn, they've even fucked up YouTube. So it's everywhere, you can't escape it, it'll be on billboards and people's cars, and overall, elections are just a bad, bad time. And anyone who's done, like, older than two knows they're going to pick a shit candidate. So we know they don't even work, even though people get so fucking excited. And here's the big one that I want to talk about is, it's a lot of people in these elections don't want to waste their vote. And I've never understood this concept of wasting my vote. Voting for someone who doesn't win, it's not a waste because it's not a game. I mean, I guess if you're at a horse track and you bet on your horse and they don't win, well, that's one thing. But you win if you get your interests aligned with, quote-unquote, leadership. That's when you win. You don't win just because you picked the right candidate. You know, I like to think about this, like, Imagine you're in a room with like 50 dudes and you got to vote on whether we fuck girls or dudes, guys. Well, I'm going to vote for fucking girls. That's the way I'm, that's just my politics. I know we don't know what the definition of man or woman is anymore, but I'm going to pick girls anyway. Now, here's the thing. What if a more majority of those dudes are gay somehow? Well, and I decide, well, I don't want to waste my vote. So I guess I'm just going to vote for gagging on cock because that's I don't want to waste it. And so you end up voting for gagging on cock, which is the equivalent of voting for outrageous levels of debt, inflation, questionable education outcomes, international mass murder. I mean, like, that's kind of what we've done. We're in the room, like, well, everyone's gay, so I guess we're just going to vote for suck. How about I'm just going to vote for what I like. I'm going to vote for banging chicks, and even if that doesn't win, I mean, I guess I'll have to deal with it, but I'm going to at least pick what I like. Well, the don't waste your vote people are really fucking weird in that way. Like, well, time to suck dick. I don't know. Like, so it's almost like a real defeatist way of looking at this thing. But they're put in that position. It's not entirely their fault because we have a binary system. It's either you've got Adolf Hitler over there or just some guy over here. So you pick some guy. And that's the way both the left and the right do it. That's how Biden's in, and that's how Trump was in before. It's really fucked up. And so people act like, well, there's no solution. Well, I heard about this idea called ranked choice voting probably 5 years ago on Freakonomics. And it works a little bit differently. You don't pick one candidate. You pick five in order that you like, in order of preference. My first choice, second choice, third choice, et cetera. That's it. It's really simple. And there's a lot of people that, excuse me, a lot of people that don't like it or, you know, criticize it and say, well, it's too complicated. No, it isn't. You just pick your five favorite things. Everyone fucking does this on the Christmas list. Every five-year-old picks their top thing they like, and then from there, they kind of go down. And so here's the basic process. The process is more complicated for people that are tallying the votes, but that's not you, not me, not anybody doing the actual voting, so it doesn't matter. But the process, you vote for the your top five choices, and then you leave. And what happens is if somebody gets the majority, they win. So in that way, it's no different than the current process. But here's the thing. If no one gets that 50%, then we're going to chop out the last place candidate. And let's just say there's five Democrats, five Republicans, whatever. Well, whoever gets last place, assuming we have no majority, that last place person, you're out. And so anyone who voted for that candidate as their first choice, their ballots get shifted up, adjusted as if that last place person didn't exist. And so now their second place choice gets the first place vote. And so the votes are tallied again and the process repeats. And that's the gist of it. I mean, you know, there's complications inside there, but, you know, somebody will figure that out. That's not my problem. But here's the thing. So why bother? And again, it's not that complicated. People want to keep insisting this is complicated. No, just pick five instead of one. Done. But where the hell am I? Oh, here we go. Okay, so... Here's the benefits, or at least that's the theoretical benefits. And maybe I'm way wrong here. I don't know. But the beauty of this thing is it reduces the power of extremists. And defensive voting is reduced. In other words, you're not going to vote Adolf Hitler in, so you just pick the other guy. Well, and let's talk about each one of those. So extremists definitely lose out. Now, how much? I think this will increase over time. But we see this particularly in the primaries. Like the DNC... Bernie Sanders has basically won the past two times, 2016 and 2020, and both times the Democrats had to commit felony-level fraud, at least that's the way, allegedly, that's the way I understand it, in order to get Hillary or Biden in. And the reason is, the most left person, when all you're doing is competing with lefties, the most lefties is going to win. It's science. It's the way it seems to go. And it happens on the right as well. Trump won both times, and he was the only one that wasn't measured. He says, oh, fuck the enemy. Yeah, let's go get him. It's easy to like General Patton. It's easy. And the question is, will General Patton get you killed? And that's not so easy. So, but when it comes to actually winning the election against the other team, the extremist doesn't do so well. And then you want somebody a little bit more moderate, because a whole lot of middle people aren't too sure about which of the two they want. Well, so the extremists lose out on this thing, and also defensive voting, which I guess is kind of sort of the same thing, only different. you're just not going to vote for that the lesser of two evils, because there's not just two evils in this particular game. You have 10 people, let's just say. And I think maybe you have more than that. I don't know. Well, the details are in the weeds. But here's the thing, though. When you vote defensively, you're just trying to vote against someone's flaws. So let's just say, let's talk about flaws a little bit. The politicians are basically people that never got caught. Like, okay, let's just say you banged a hooker, back when you're 33, when you're divorced, and that you get caught. Like, does that mean you're a bad leader? Like, I don't know. You bought a product or service. I mean, I don't know. You watched a porn and then suddenly out of nowhere five guys walk out and start banging the chick. You're like, fuck, and you click out, or hell, maybe even like it. I don't know. Does that mean you don't know how to make like decisions about the military or the economy? I don't know. But either way, we find these flaws in people. And so anyone who gets caught, we can't be a politician. That's the way we do it. But anyone who found a way to skimp by, like just slide through the system, gets kind of like a fluke, kind of like a sperm, I guess. It just kind of snuck his way through. Not because he was a good sperm, just kind of snuck his way into that egg, and you don't even know why. So maybe that sperm faked its way through Harvard, or maybe that sperm got like a 4.0 in school, like by cheating. I mean, like, basically, the system is really good at resume stuff. But we all fucking know you could have a perfect resume for this person you're going to hire and end up being a complete dipshit. And you're like, well, how the fuck that happened? Well, it's because resume stuff doesn't tell you anything. Ooh, Eagle Scout. You must be like, have all those good qualities we imagine an Eagle Scout having. Well, or maybe you're a fucking dipshit who just kind of slid by and half-assed things, but never quite got caught on it. So here's the thing. Ranked choice voting has this way of because you're not just fighting one enemy, but maybe five, maybe nine. Like it's too much going on in that way. You end up just kind of picking someone you do like, and so we're not even accustomed to think about picking a politician because we like them. We're only really accustomed to picking a politician because we don't hate them. And again, that's what we see in the past two elections, at least, and probably more than that. It's always the lesser of two evils. Now, a lot of people like to talk about the Nader effect, and the story goes in 2000, year 2000, Al Gore was against George W. Bush, and then Ralph Nader had like a decent following. Now, Ralph Nader was like a lefty in, I think, the Green Party, which I think that just means like more environmental and, whatever. They're basically a form of the left that's probably less disgusting than Democrats, but I don't know. Either way, Al Gore was like the favorite to win, but then you had Nader. And the story goes that since quite a few people voted for Nader, and I say quite a few, I don't know, 8% or something. I don't know, it's been a while. But quite a good number did. Well, those were votes that could have went to Al Gore. And it turned out that the election between Al Gore and George W. Bush in Florida went down to just thousands of votes. It was pretty goddamn close. Well, if the Nader votes would have went to Gore, he would have won, he would have been president, and maybe we would not have invaded Iraq. No, we probably would have invaded 10 other countries, because there's no reason to assume a Democrat wouldn't invade countries, because they keep on doing that. But either way, so the story goes that W. Bush got in because of Nader. Nader stole votes from Gore, and so we don't want that anymore. But here's the thing. In ranked choice voting, if we would have ranked choice voting back then, we're going to assume the people that really like Nader probably would have picked Al Gore second. I think that's a fair guess, or something to that effect. And so you'd have George W. Bush, then you'd have Nader, and you have Gore. Well, the Nader vote, Nader's only got 8%, but no one got a majority. So let's just assume it's down to those three. All the Nader votes would have been ripped out and given to the second place, which we're going to say is Gore. So in essence, the voting would have probably came out the same. So you could say, well, why bother ranked choice voting if it's going to come out the same? Well, the difference is Nader isn't looked at as an enemy. He's looked at as a legitimate candidate. And whatever Nader's ideas were that were different than Gore's, those ideas don't die. Those ideas stay present. And so maybe Nader gets 8% in 2000. Well, what's it get in 2004? Instead of looking at Nader as the enemy that's going to make sure the Republicans get in, now Nader is looked at as like a viable choice. And so maybe you get 16% next year. It's all based on ideas and positive qualities instead of just trying to make sure Bush doesn't get in. And so this is the big one. Like, in essence, people are not accustomed to voting for someone they like. They're used to playing defense or strategy, as if that, and that clearly hasn't worked. As look at our foreign policy, our economic policy, our politicians are shitty, shitty people. And so I think that trying a new system, it's worth doing. And if it sucks, we can just go back to the other one. I mean, how hard is it to switch? I don't know, but it seems quite doable just to add 5 instead of 1. So if you're interested, look into this ranked choice voting. I think there's something to it. And I've heard people talk. I tried to explain this to my best buddy, who's kind of stupid, I guess, but kind of smarter than me, too. And he's like, sounds like bullshit to me. Fuck you. And then I heard somebody trying to explain it on Rogan. Rogan thought it was a left-wing conspiracy to gerrymander and fuck everything up. It's clearly hard to explain. But the more I think about it, the more I like it. Now, Freakonomics, if you get bored, Google it, Freakonomics ranked choice voting. They explained it like 30 minutes or an hour, and I was sold. I was like, this is very interesting. And I've tried it in a few different places. I think Australia does it by default, and quite a few states have moved to it. So look into it. I think it could be, you know, it's not going to like radically transform the whole fucking nation, but it might shift us 5% towards a better place. If nothing else, the duopoly that both Democrats and Republicans rely on to get their way in particular the things they agree on. When you have a duopoly that believes in an astronomically sized military-industrial complex, we're going to get that. And so it'd be nice to have some more choices in there. And I've been trying to get a third party. Ah! Oh. How are you doing?
It's about time to go.
All right. Well, give me just a second. I'm finishing up. I'll be leaving very soon. Thank you. I've been trying to get a third party in there for past 15 years with no success. But I think this ranked choice voting might be the thing that suddenly opens it up so people don't have to play defense anymore. Fuck, I don't know. Out of here.